We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And what a treat it is right now to have us joining in studio a man that's a star. And there's one thing to be a star, but now he's dressing like a star with the backwards hat, the jean jacket. I don't even think he's wearing a shirt underneath there. And let me tell you, if I did that, everyone would be running away out of this studio if I was walking around with just a jean jacket on. And now joining us, let's give him a proper introduction here. It's the Steamroller! Steamroller! Yeah. How about that? Matt Frivola, the Steamroller, who's getting ready to kick ass and take names in UFC fight coming up on May 6th as he's going up against Drew Dober, and he joins us right now. Matt, how you been?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me. You know, there's only like a couple weeks, like a year, that I could pull off the Canadian tuxedo with no shirt on. And, you know, you caught me in a good day.
Well, I'll tell you, your stock is really, not to sound like DJ Khaled, but it's booming these days. Because I was at Madison Square Garden, and all of a sudden I hear Timmy Trumpets playing, and they're like, oh, a Long Island kid is coming out, and he's fighting. And I'm looking around, and I go, this is pretty cool when you have all the fans chanting Steamroller. And the next thing you know, it was a quick knockout. And ever since, your stock has really taken off.
Oh, yeah, man, no doubt. The Trumpets got the MSG crowd going. And then the knockout kept them going. So we're moving in the right direction.
So I know you're a Mets fan. That's a cool part of it. Following you on all social media, and you interact with all the fans as well. You're a big-time sports fan. And that's not always the case when we're dealing with athletes when it comes to other sports. Is that how you got the whole Timmy Trumpets, the Narcos Edwin Diaz entrance, just because you're a Mets fan?
Oh, 100%. You know, Edwin Diaz walks out to the Narcos, and it's electric. And then he would go in there, and he just, you know, close it, shut everyone down. And that song is amazing, and it just gives me like fight feels. I get like a bullfighting arena vibe like when I hear it. And you know, we walked out to it, and it's definitely stuck.
What was that moment like for you? Because you're from Long Island, you're a New York kid. It's very quick to get into Madison Square Garden. You know, it's the Mecca. When you're walking out, and you know you have your friends and family in the building and also across the street at Mustangs, Harry's, getting ready to celebrate afterwards. Just what was going through your mind before that fight?
You know, it was huge. It was huge. At MSG in my backyard, and then walking out to the Timmy Trumpets, like I said, with the Mets killing it. And, you know, I had the perfect opponent. You know, he was the perfect bad guy. Otman Azatar, he was undefeated 13-0 with, like, all knockouts. And I was the underdog. You know, a lot of people counted me out for that fight. And I think I proved a lot of people wrong. And, you know, I know that on my best day, I could beat anybody in the world. And, you know, I brought my A game that day. And, you know, I defeated him.
Clearly, with what you do as Matt Frivola, the Steamroller, is here with us, you have to be confident and you have to expect to win. But when did it hit you when you knocked out your opponent at Madison Square Garden, what you actually accomplished?
You know, I think once I see his limp body falling down after my left hook, and then I hear the crowd erupting, like it was unbelievable. I jumped on top of the cage and I let my emotions out. And you know, it was a picture perfect fight, and you know, I'm keeping it rolling. You know, I didn't take much time off after that. I got right back into the gym. And, you know, I wanted a big fight after that fight. And now we got number 14 in the world, and I have that big fight.
You just keep on steamrolling through people, no pun intended right there. And your fan base is really growing by the day. To keep on seeing this fan support grow exponentially, just what does that mean to you?
It means the world to me. You know, like, I'm a normal, like, Strong Island, Long Island kid. You know, I grew up born and raised in Huntington. You know, Mets, Jets, Islanders fan. And, you know, I'm just a tough kid. I'm a tough kid. I was never, you know, overly good at anything, but I was always a scrappy, grinding kind of athlete. And I think, you know, I found a home in mixed martial arts. You know, I put in the work. I've been doing this now for about 10 years. And, you know, we're at the top of the game now, and I'm coming for it all.
To be able to do this, you clearly have to be physically fit, and you have to have the physical mentality, but also a lot of it is mental. How'd you get involved in saying this is the profession and the game that you want to enter?
Yeah, you know, I started as a wrestler. I wrestled at Harbor Fields High School in Greenlawn, New York, Long Island. And, you know, I was never like a a very good wrestler. I was always a good wrestler. I was never a great wrestler. Like, I would go to counties. I got beat up in counties. I never made it to states. And then, you know, I loved wrestling so much. Once I, you know, finished high school, I found Matt Serra's gym, and I found jiu-jitsu. I found Brazilian jiu-jitsu with Serra. And, you know, I watched him, you know, go for his title run, and, you know, watching a Long Island guy make it to the top of the mountain and get UFC gold. I was thinking, you know, why not me? And I started training jiu-jitsu and eventually, you know, started taking amateur fights. And, you know, I was always a tough kid, but when I walked into Serra BJJ, I got humbled. I got humbled quick, but I kept showing up, and that there was no secrets to this. I just kept showing up, kept learning, kept growing, and, you know, stayed the course.
When you talk about how you had to get humbled and you kept showing up, when you kept on showing up, when did it start to click for you? Yeah, I'm pretty damn good at this.
You know, I think it was my fourth amateur fight. And I got the opportunity to go to Costa Rica, and I was fighting the Costa Rican champion down there. The kid was 9-0, and I was fighting for the Costa Rican amateur title. And I was 3-0 at the time. He was 9-0 with like all knockouts. And we fought in a bullfighting arena in Cocoa Beach, Costa Rica.
Wow.
And he comes out, and it actually started raining on us when we were fighting. Which, you know, the fight gods were on my back, were on my side that night, because he comes out and he cracks me with a right hand, and he like wobbled me a little bit, and it was raining, so it was so slippery. So then I shot a takedown, I got an easy takedown, and I just started beating the piss out of him on the ground. I just started ground and pounding him, and I ended up armbarring him in the third round, and I won the Costa Rican title. And after that, I remember holding the belt, and I'm like, man, like, I think I could make something of this. And ever since then, you know, I've nonstop been in the gym, nonstop been, you know, improving my martial arts. And the dream was always to be a UFC champion. And, you know, we're getting closer.
When you look at this journey and you talk about where you were not that long ago, now when you go into Madison Square Garden and in a few weeks you're going into the Prudential Center, has it even hit you yet? Like, is that still surreal to you that, wow, you went from an arena where they're raining on you to now you have 18,000 people supporting you when you walk into a building?
You know, honestly, it's awesome. Like, I put in so much work. I'm so, you know, I'm so ready, and I love that I'm on the biggest stage and able to show the world, you know, my hard work. But when it comes down to it, It could be, you know, the backyard, or it could be the cage and the octagon at MSG.
Matter.
It's me, it's my opponent, and it's the ref who's going to pull me off his limp body.
Matt Frivola, the Steamroller, here with us in studio. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We always hear the preparation and the training for these fights. You look swole right now. Like, you always look like you're in good shape, but we could tell that the fight is getting closer and closer. What is the training like to get ready for what's going to go down in 2 weeks?
Yeah, you know, we're 2 weeks out. You know, I had a great sparring session yesterday with Dennis Bazuka, who's an amazing fighter. I've got a team full of killers. You know, the Serra Longo fight team, we're led by the godfather of MMA, Ray Longo. And, you know, it's hard not to get better training with these guys. The champion, the main event, Aljamain Sterling. We got Ally Quinta in there. We got Chris Weidman. You know, we got so many good guys. Merab Dvalishvili. And, you know, we all put in the work and we all feed off each other. We all help each other. And, you know, when I got a fight coming up, I got my boys coming in helping me. When they got a fight coming up, as soon as I'm done with this fight, I'm back in the gym helping them. It's, you know, you see it's a, you know, there's only one of us fighting in that cage. But it takes a team. It takes a team to prepare and to step into that cage and leave it all in there. And you know, I'm blessed to have a great team behind me, great coaches, and you know, I'm ready to finish camp. I'm ready to finish camp strong. You know, next week is the last hard week. You know, I'll have my last sparring session probably next Thursday, and then you know, fight week we head to the Prudential Center. We head to Newark, and you know, I cut this weight. And then I beat this dude's ass.
What is the eating regimen like right now? Because I follow you on social media. When you're not getting ready for a fight, you do what I love, and you just devour bacon, egg, and cheeses on Long Island. So you have to clearly alter that diet right now, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a big egg sandwich guy. Big egg sandwich guy. But now I'm having my healthy egg sandwich. I'm having
the egg whites.
Two eggs. No, I still eat the eggs. Okay. You know, the yolks are good. I have two eggs, avocado, salt, pepper, hot sauce on a sunflower whole wheat flagel from Bagels on Main. And it's so good. And I enjoy it every day. But I haven't had a bacon, egg, and cheese in about 2 months. And someone's going to pay for that. Someone's going to pay for that.
I love that.
And Drew Dober's going to pay. I have not had a bacon, egg, and cheese in 2 months, and he will pay for that.
When you're in the gym, do they have hanging on the wall photos of bacon, egg, and cheeses just to get you even more amped up? Because that's what I would do if I was your trainer.
No, but I need to put one up.
Matt Frivola, the Steamroller, here with us in studio. So talk to me a little bit, because I've just following you on social media, and you're a genuine good dude. I could tell that you are friendly with a lot of these fighters, and you like to continue to grow the sport, and you get the attention of someone like me who didn't really know much about UFC a few years ago, and now have become a little bit more than a casual fan. When you look at Drew Dober, what stands out to you, and what's the challenge that lies ahead?
Man, he's a beast. You know, he's number 14 in the world for a reason. You know, I've always known about him. He's been in the UFC for a long time. He's a veteran. But, you know, once I got this fight booked, going back to and I watched all his fights. And, you know, honestly, I had a fun time watching all his fights because he's got some of the best knockouts in the UFC lightweight division, you know, I've ever seen. But I also see where I can beat him. I know he's human. He's human just like I'm human. He could get knocked out just like I could get knocked out. And I know that I have what it takes to knock him out or, you know, take him down, smash him, and submit him. So I'm prepared for it all.
What do you say? Because I see it on social media where people like following you, but when you're trying to make a bigger name for yourself, there's all, even when you get to the top, there's always people that are going to be doubting you. And I see in your mentions people going, Frivola, this is where the fun stops for you. You're not going to win coming up on May 6th. What do you say to the people that are doubting the Steamroller right now?
Listen, they've been doubting me my entire life. I've had an underdog mentality my entire life. You know, like I said, even in wrestling in high school, I was good, but I wasn't great. They've always been doubting me. I've always been the little chubby kid who, you know, just was scrappy. And, you know, I carry that around with me everywhere. And I love showing people, you know, what I'm about. You know, I might not look like much. You know, I might not be the fastest. I might not be the strongest, but I'm going to give it all I got. And I'm going to keep chipping away until you break. So, you know, I love turning the haters into fans. And, you know, good luck to Drew Dober and good luck to all his fans. But I know all his fans are going to be Steamroller fans after the fight.
If you win this fight, or let me say it, when you win this fight, before you correct me, what does this do for your career?
This gets me on a title trajectory. You know, Drew Dober's number 14 in the world. I plan on being number 14 when I beat him. And once I'm number 14 in the world, you know, I'd say I'm two, maybe three fights away from a world championship, which is the ultimate goal. You know, Long Island, we have three Long Island champions, which is really crazy if you think about it. You know, every country, they count, you know, the number of champions from each country. And we have three world champions from Long Island, wow, born and raised. You know, Matt Serra, Chris Weidman, Aljamain Sterling. And I plan on being the fourth one. Steamroller Frivola.
Matt Frivola wrapping up with him in studio right now. I want to ask you a few things about the UFC. Just want to get your perspective on it. Adesanya Pereira was another tremendous fight. Adesanya finally wins in the UFC. Afterwards, everyone comes out. I don't know if it was the company line, but they were like, Pereira's going to 205. And he even said that. And who knows if we'll eventually see a rematch again. As a fight fan, I guess I could say that now. I'm hoping we see those guys one more time because I was there at MSG. It was awesome. It went to Pereira. And then the last one went to Adesanya. I feel like we need to see it for a third time in the UFC.
Yeah, I think you need to. You know, it's the rubber match. You need the rubber match. You know, in MMA, they're 1-1 in MMA, and they both are 1-1 with finishes. So I think it's only a matter of time, but it will be fun to watch, you know, Pereira fight someone else. You know, watch, you know, Stylebender. But the thing is Stylebender is almost ran through the 185-pound division. I think I'm looking forward to seeing that Polo Costa and Chimaev fight. I think Chimaev and Polo Costa fight. And then maybe, you know, Chimaev has got a lot of hype on him. Chimaev beats Costa. You know, it'd be nice to see Chimaev fight Stylebender. And then we'll see how Pereira does at 205. You know, I think he does cut a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I think
he's a big dude.
He's huge, man. He's huge. And when you cut a lot of weight, you're not able to take the shots like you're used to, you know, because you're, you know, might be a little bit dehydrated still. So I think maybe he'll be a better fighter at 205, and maybe he goes, you know, and wins the title at 205, and then you get a little champ versus champ for the grudge match. So we'll see.
I saw Gilbert Burns was added to the main card. I know you guys are close for this fight coming up on May 6th. Just take me more a little bit into what stands out and what you kind of look at when you watch him fight.
Dorino, Gilbert Burns is a beast. And the thing that I love about him is that he was a jiu-jitsu world champion. And then he comes into the UFC and he just starts knocking everyone out. So it just shows like his skills. He could take you down and he could submit you or he could knock you out. But he is a tough fight. Bilal Muhammad is a beast. Muhammad is, he's a great wrestler and he's got that dog in him. He doesn't stop. But again, they're both taking this fight on short notice. And it's a 5-round fight. So it will be an interesting fight. You know, usually both these guys are known for their cardio, but they just signed the fight yesterday. The fight's 2 weeks, so they pretty much don't have a fight camp. So is their cardio going to be there? I think somebody's going to get tired and somebody's going to get finished. So we'll see.
How old are you? I know you're in your 30s. How old?
I'm 32. I'm in the prime of my life.
So I remember last time we were talking, I was like, oh, what are you going to be doing 10 years from now? You're like, I'm going to be retired at that point. But the reason why I asked that is you've had this come up and you've had some success now and you're looking to get closer and closer to that championship fight. But someone like Rosas, who's 18 or 19, had that great fight. And then the second time, it clearly didn't go his way and he's got some work to do. What advice would you give him?
Stay the course. You know, he's so young. Again, and align yourself with the right coaches. You know, I think it's so important to find a coach that you trust that has the best interests for you and your career. And I think he's been doing that. You know, I saw him working with Aljo, and Aljo like has been helping him out when he was in Vegas. So I think he finds the right coaches and stays the course. You know, because he's got a lot of potential. You know. Like you think of like I think of myself at 18, you know, I didn't even know what MMA was at 18. You know, I was wrestling and like playing football, trying to play college football, just getting like blackout drunk, being an idiot. But you know, I found my direction. It seems like he found his direction. He found his passion. So, you know, good luck to him.
What do you want the world, because we're on 200 stations around the country right now on CBS Sports Radio, for people that don't know Matt Frivola, what do you want them to know about the Steamroller?
You know, I want them to know that I put my heart and soul into this. You know, I love martial arts. I love the man it's made me into. You know, it's humbled me, and it's a lifelong journey. You know, I will be a lifelong martial artist. You know, I'm not just a fighter. I'm not just a guy who's in the cage, you know, who hates his opponent and wants to just, you know, fight. I love expressing myself in the cage through martial arts. I love working hard, training, helping my team, and then going in there and leaving everything I have in that cage, blood, sweat, and tears, putting on a great show for the fans, showing beautiful martial arts, and, you know, having fun and drinking a beer afterwards.
I know that you're focused on Dober. But everyone, when they bring up your name, they talk about that eventual fight with Paddy Pimblett. What's the deal there? Are we getting close to that?
Oh, yeah. It's only a matter of time before I smash that dude. You know, I like to humble people. You know, just like I got humbled. Now I humble people. My last opponent I humbled, and old Patty Cakes needs to be humbled. He needs to be humbled.
I love that.
We all need to be humbled, and I will gladly humble him after Drew Dober. I beat Drew Dober.
Now, I'll save my toughest question right here, right now. This will be the last question for you. And this one, don't punch me. Don't get annoyed at me. I'm just asking you the question here. Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports. He used to call me when I was doing the weekend overnights. He did picks up against me this year. I love Jersey Jerry. I'm a big fan of Matt Frivola. I feel like this is a marriage right now, and I'm like the counselor just trying to make sure that you guys give a hug at the end of the day. Are you guys good, you and Jersey Jerry? I saw you guys are going back and forth on social media the other day.
Yeah, well, I was actually just at Barstool, and just so happened Jersey Jerry wasn't in the office.
Oh, he ducked
you? Know, he wasn't in the office.
It's a smart move by Jersey Jerry.
He was out golfing, but I got to have a FaceTime with him, and, you know, I told him that he needs to watch his mouth. He needs to watch his mouth, and us fighters, we're not in there playing a game. We're not in there trying to score a touchdown or hit a ball. We're in there fighting. We're in there trying to, you know, separate each other from our consciousness. We put our health on the line. So have some respect. Watch your mouth, Jersey Jerry. And he, you know, I think he read me loud and clear. You know, it would be different if he was just, you know, some no-name troll. And, you know, you could ignore him, be like, you know, this guy. But Jersey Jerry's got a following,
yeah,
you know.
Big following.
He's a funny guy. And I you know, I like him. He's a funny guy. He has good content. But, you know, next time when somebody gets knocked out, let's not, you know, kick him while he's down. Let's say, awesome fight, Edson Barboza. You did great. You know, that was a great, great performance to this guy instead of kicking the guy when he's down. Have some respect.
How about that? Wow, Matt Frivola taking a shot. I got to bring you guys to a game together. And I'll sit in the middle. I'll have Jersey Jerry to my left, you to my right, and we'll just drink some beers.
Yeah, man, good? Listen, I brought him some diapers and kissed himself again. But and then I gave him a signed print of the steamroller. So, you know,
okay,
we'll be all right.
Well, I was in attendance for the fight at MSG. Not unfortunately, because I don't want my friend to get offended, but one of my best friends is getting married on May 6th. So I'm going to be at this wedding having a few beers. And when you knock out Drew Dober, I'm just going to be like on the dance floor screaming, Steamroller!
How?
Oh, yeah. I love that. There we go. Matt Frivola, the Steamroller. Good luck. Kick ass, and we'll see you soon, all right?
Yeah, I appreciate you, Zach.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's dream come true time as Gervonta Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia go toe-to-toe in a battle for undefeated supremacy this Saturday, April 22nd on Showtime Pay-Per-View. Go to sho.com/PPV and snag a front row seat. So I don't think it's getting talked about a lot right now because I think we're all in a fatigue state of it. But one of, if not the biggest storylines entering the NFL draft next week is the deal between the Jets and the Packers and if it's going to get done. Now, we know that the Packers aren't getting the Jets' 13th overall pick. And a lot of people have reported, or it's under the belief, that it'll be one of these second-round picks that the Jets have back-to-back in this year's draft, 42 or 43. And then it all comes down to that future first-round pick in 2024 and if there's conditions on it or not. The Packers, from all reports, want an outright first-round pick. The Jets want there to be some conditions on it because of this idea that maybe Rodgers only plays there 1 year and then retires. And quite frankly, I don't really think either side has leverage. We've talked about this before, the semantics and like the kid games here. The Jets know they have to trade for him, and the Packers know that they have to trade Aaron Rodgers. And so far, no team else has got to the table to try to get a deal done with the Packers that we know of, and also have have Aaron Rodgers want to go there as well. So really, Hickey, and I know that the general sentiment of this now is that we don't expect the deal to get done or get announced on Thursday night, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but it does feel like when this deal gets done, and assuming this deal gets done, that the real deadline is on Friday, because then on Friday, the Jets pick pretty early in the second round, 42 and 43. And if you're Green Bay, if you know that eventually Rodgers is going to go to the Jets, you would think the Jets are going to be bare minimum somewhat decent next year. Like, I think they make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. So you want to know where one of those second round picks are, and it's not going to be better than 42 or 43 this upcoming year. So it, not that it has to get done by Friday, but I've never been concerned that this deal isn't getting done. You've been a little bit different, Hickey. If we are at the draft on Friday, and I'm not even say the end of the second round, but picks 42 and 43 go by, and one of those have not been traded to the Packers, then you start to say, well, how long is this thing actually going to start to drag on out for?
And I think another question to ask is then if you're the Packers, well, who else are they going to start calling? Now, no one may pick up.
One
no
team.
One may be interested. But you know what? I think you start shopping around. Talk to Aaron. See if you can make a deal with somebody else.
Now, there's only one team that I think would get him to say yes. That's the 49ers. I know you're going to say the Dolphins, but it's pretty clear the Dolphins are going to give Tua every shot this year to stay healthy, and then we'll see. Now, I don't know how the 49ers are going to make it work from a salary cap standpoint, but I think you figure that out at a later date. And how many times do we find people restructure deals, and how many times do we find out that a team is right at being over the cap, and then they get a big player, and they figure it out from there, and they maneuver money around. So you could do that, but you also look at Rodgers telling Calais Campbell, I know Campbell is signed with the Falcons and now is talking up the Atlanta Falcons. Rodgers told him to sign with the Jets. So he's already operating as if he is a Jet. I feel like Rodgers is already dug in so deep that he's not going to go back on his word. But if the 49ers do show interest, and I don't think they're going to, then if you're Rodgers, sorry, Alan Lazard. Like, sorry, his BFF and Nathaniel Hackett. It's like, who gives you a better shot to win the Super Bowl this year? The 49ers or the Jets? The Jets, even if you like their roster, and there's reasons to like that roster in the AFC, the 49ers in the NFC. Ultimately, I do think this deal gets done on Friday. Even if it doesn't get done on Friday, I still think he's going to the Jets, but then it just doesn't make sense from a Packers standpoint. Unless another team gets involved, and so far we just haven't seen that other domino start to fall. Marco, you've been all over this, and I know that you're tired with these games from the start between the Jets and the Packers, and you've even said like neither side has leverage as well. Do you think this gets done by Friday?
I think if it doesn't get done by Friday, we're talking about into August.
And you know what all Aaron has to do? Just show up. It's all those voluntary dates and
I don't think it's going to get to that because I don't think he wants to be there. So I don't think Aaron Rodgers is really the reason why this thing needs to get done by Friday. I think it's the Jets and the Packers, because if we do get to the point where those two picks you said in the second round, if they're both off the board, then there's no longer a reason to get this done by the draft. We've already passed that point because it's not this year's picks that they're talking about. So now we're squabbling over next year's picks. At that point, neither team has any motivation to move any quicker. Aaron Rodgers, he feels like, you know what? Tell me where I am. Week one, I'll get there. I'll run the plays that I want to run, and we'll win because I'm that good. So I don't think he cares about training camp. I don't think he cares about getting to know his new teammates. That's not the Aaron Rodgers that it seems like from the outside. So there's no motivation on his part at that point. There would be less motivation on both teams. So for all of our sakes, this deal needs to get done by Friday so that it has this year's second round pick involved and we get the rest of the distribution and we get the trade done. If not, this thing lingers into training camp.
I think this is very simple. And I think logically, it's very easy to figure out how this deal gets done. If I ask you, what do you think the return ends up being? So either the 42nd or 43rd pick, it's semantics right at that point. That's not really a holdup. What do you think happens with that pick in 2024? Is it a conditional one? Is it an outright one? What do you think is fair in this situation if you were like the neutral arbiter?
I would probably go for a conditional two next year. Depending on where the Jets finish this year, it could turn into a one. It could turn into a three. I think that would be fair on both sides.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about it the other way.
Just the idea of, look, Aaron Rodgers walks away and they, you know, say, make the wild card and that's it, and he's done at the end of the year. Then you get the two this year, you get a three next year because he's no longer a Jet. He stays on, they make the playoffs, they do whatever, you know, kind of put something you put into it. It could be, go up to a one, but I'd say you would start at a two and it either goes up or it goes down.
I actually like how you just phrased that. So we agree the 42nd or 43rd pick in this year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I never even thought about it that if he retires, it wouldn't just be a two, because it starts as a two. I think he could even, if he retires after 1 year, a two and a four for 1 year for Aaron Rodgers, I think is fair. If it goes down to a four, if he retires, if you want to tell me a three, I don't think I'm going to sit here and freak out from a three to a four. So I like that part about it. But to me, it's what actually happens to make it go to a one. You said playoffs. It has to feel like it's going to be more than the playoffs, right?
You know,
and he's also back.
Let's say, assuming he's back. So he plays more than the 1 year.
Yeah.
I could say, if I'm the Packers, I would say, look, you win the division or you get to the playoffs, it's a one. I could see the Jets maybe being a little hesitant on that, but at the same time, like, if you're the Jets, if you get Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. and he gets you into the playoffs, he breaks that 12-year drought, whether you win the division or not, you want to hold it up to, if it's division, I'll give you a one.
Your
if it's
first
a wild
round
card,
pick won't be important next year.
I think I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that. My fan base has now gotten a taste of the playoffs. I got Aaron Rodgers. I got into the playoffs. Maybe I made noise. Maybe I didn't. Look, if they win a Super Bowl or they get to a Super Bowl, that's automatically a one. We know that. I'm assuming they lose in the wild card or divisional round as a wild card team. That's not enough. And he comes back for the next year, so you have a chance to then run it back the year after.
Yeah.
I think the one at that point would be enough. A two and a one is fine. If he's gone, they don't make the playoffs, then I could see the Jets going, we got nothing out of this. You got a two this year, you get a three next year, and then go to hell. Like, I could see them being like, look, why are we washing our hands? I'm tired of it.
And you know what? I was going to say, if they win a playoff game or get to the AFC Championship, then it goes to a one.
And that's fine if you want to do that as the kicker, too.
But you're 100% right. If the Jets make the playoffs and then Rodgers is back the year after that, I don't think your first-round pick, even if you don't even win a playoff game, is all that valuable. So I'm in 100% agreement. It's very simple. Give them the 42nd pick that they got from Cleveland, or if you want to make it the 43rd, it doesn't matter. And then the year after that, it's a second-round pick. If he retires, you drop it down to a three. Or if he's only there for 1 year, you drop it down to a three. And if you make the playoffs, you move it up to a one. And then if they just miss the playoffs outright or like nothing, and he's just back next year, then it's just a two.
Yeah,
I think it's that simple. See, yeah. Like, look how – I know we don't have a dog in a fight here.
Yeah.
But – we don't always agree, and I just think we were able to figure that out in 5 minutes. They should be able to do that as well.
I don't think that it's necessarily that they haven't figured that out. I think it's stubbornness on both sides.
Yeah.
And again, and there's no real reason to push for the deal now because neither side is really up against it. If we get past Friday, that's the deadline for me. Mm-hmm. If we get past Friday and they can't come to this agreement and they don't have the second round pick this year, then it changes the conversation. Now you got to go back to the drawing board. And then it's, what are you getting next year? Conditional one. What about the year after? What are we doing here? Is there a three involved? Is there a two? And now it becomes wide open again. And now you have no deadline anymore. So you have no reason again to get the deal done. And it just drags on and it drags on and it lingers and it lingers. And Aaron Rodgers sits at home looking around going, guys, let me know where I got to go. But
ayahuasca,
either way,
darkness retreats.
But I mean, like, is he really good? Does Aaron Rodgers strike you as the guy that I need to know who my teammate is? I need to know what the passing routes are going to be. I need to get the playbook in my hands.
No.
Like, he's just going to look at it like, guys, I'm that good. Show me where I got to go. Give me the GPS. Get me to the building, and I'm good. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what he thinks.
I think you're right on that front. All righty. We'll come on back with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Rangers last night take a 2-0 series lead up against the Devils. I'll be in the building tomorrow night, Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. In game number one, Chris Kreider had two power play goals. In game number two, Chris Kreider also had two power play goals. Patty Kane also had a goal and two assists. But let's hear the second power play goal that put the Rangers up 3-1. This courtesy of Don LaGreca, Chris Kreider on his second goal of the game.
Kane between the circles. Kane back down low, tipped by Kreider, and he scores! Chris Kreider, power play goal again, and it's 3-1.
Keep them coming, Rangers. LGR, baby. Give a stock up to a guy that I like to call Captain Chris. John Tavares and the Maple Leafs had a lot of pressure on them. They've not won a playoff series since 2004, Toronto as an organization, or as they say in hockey, organization. Well, they lost game one. In game number two, they got out to a quick start. They were up 6-1. John Tavares had a goal to make it 2-0, also had a goal to make it 4-1. In the third period, it was 6-2, and John Tavares had a hat trick. Let's hear his third goal, this courtesy of the Leafs Radio Network.
Marner trying to stretch it out, sends it back into the corner. Tipped along there for Tavares. Tavares allowed to come right out in front, and that is not the rebound score! John Tavares has the hat trick. The Leafs have a 7-2 lead.
So that was on the Maple Leafs Radio Network. Their opponent, the Tampa Bay Lightning, has the dynamic duo of Dave Mishkin and the legendary Phil Esposito. Let's hear Mishkin and Esposito talk about a fan that was acting up in Toronto.
Now there's activity by the Lightning penalty box. They, the Lightning, are upset with some of the fans over there.
You got a fat woman who's yapping like crazy. Is that a guy with long hair? I can't tell.
A fat woman who's yapping like crazy. So give a stock up. We're not canceling Phil Esposito. That was funny. So give a stock up to Phil Esposito and also John Tavares, who had the hat trick in the game. So Colorado, the defending Stanley Cup champions, they're down 0-1 in the series. And at one point, I'm thinking, okay, they may be down 0-2 before you go to Seattle. It was 2-0 in the first period in favor of the Kraken. Then Colorado did tie it up in the second period. And Devon Toews had the game winner in the third period. And that's the final score. Colorado 3, Seattle 2. Let's listen up to the goal by Connor McGehee on the Avalanche Radio Network.
Face off one back for Sam Girard. Near side point, high in the zone. Lekkonen turning, firing, save made. Rebound is in for Toews. He scores! It's a taser from Taser! And Devon Toews has his 10th career play. And the Avalanche had their first lead of the series, 3-2.
I'll tell you, Connor and the Mishkin could be the two best radio play-by-play guys. They're awesome every time you hear them. I know Michigan's an acquired taste, but Connor McGehee is just awesome. Give a stock up to Devon Toews. Knights and Jets. This series now tied up one apiece. Las Vegas needed a win. They got it. They beat the Jets 5-2. Let's hear Chandler Stephenson score a goal to make it 3-2 in the third. Here's the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Stone gets the puck after the draw. Petrangelo shoots, save, and a rebound score! Chandler Stephenson finds the puck in the slot, pots the rebound, and the Knights are back in the lead, 3-2.
Nothing like a good goal horn. Love that in the background as a radio nerd. Give a stock up to the Knights. Victor Wembanyama, the projected number one overall pick. He declared for the NBA draft today. Give him a stock up. Nicole Arbach, who covers college football. The three rule changes have been approved by Division I and II. Sources tell The Athletic the new rules. A running clock after first downs, except for the last 2 minutes of each half. No consecutive timeouts by a team. And the fouls at the end of the first quarter and third quarters carry over. No unlimited downs or no untimed downs. So that's good news right there. Hopefully you speed up the game a little bit. Give a stock up to the new rules. The Rockets, they may be landing Nick Nurse. He's now out as the Raptors coach. And there's a lot of speculation that the Rockets may get Nick Nurse. If that's the case, good news for Houston. Give them a stock up. The NBA, I don't get it. Joel Embiid doesn't get tossed and then James Harden does. That doesn't make sense to me. What Embiid did was a lot more egregious, and I thought there was really nothing done by James Harden. Give a stock down to the refs last night in the NBA for ejecting James Harden. The Phoenix Suns, you're up 2-1. Now we know Kawhi Leonard won't be playing in game number 4 as well, and you've had 3 lethargic performances. Suns, be better. Stock down. We talked about Max Scherzer. He was defiant that he did nothing wrong. He swore on his kids, and now the appeal comes around, or the suspension's there. He has a right to appeal, and he elects not to because he doesn't think he win the case. If you're innocent, fight it. You're also a big player in the union, so I don't get this one. I think it looks bad for Max Scherzer. Give him a stock down. And finally, Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi out, like we said, for game 4. Also missed game 3. Joel Embiid's going to miss game 4 as well. Injuries just can't escape those two. Stock down, unfortunately, to Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard. Fun show today. Fun week. of shows as well. Big thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey. And you could catch him. Here we go. Good company. Guy Zach Gelb coming up tonight, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Big thanks to Emery Hunt for joining us, Justin Termini, and then the Steamroller! Matt Frivola, UFC 288 coming up at the Prudential Center in 2 weeks. Can't wait for his big fight on May 6th. We'll be back next week. Two shows in New York, Monday, Tuesday. Then we're off to the draft in Kansas City for three kick-ass shows, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We out. Bye-bye.